Come on.
Are you ready?
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
Mahoney and I actually met him several times. John Bobbitt.
Did you tell a part of him that was missing?
No, he got a new one put on, and he actually did some adult films afterwards.
It was the same one.
It was the same one?
It was the same
one. I was going to say,
why
a new one.
The same one back on?
They found it.
Give me a bigger one. Like,
because it might be off
the same one.
Dave and Mahoney.
Get on Foreigner Stout. Get on over here.
Open borders for Guinness.
You. I'll build a bridge.
Open beers and open borders, baby. Wow. That's America.
Open beers and open borders.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened during
that's
the
America.
That's what was said in the State of the Union. I don't know.
Dave and Mahoney.
I have a black light, too, for looking for scorpions. And
Do not take that into the office.
Don't go into the office.
Oh, God.
Do not go into the office. Close the door.
Oh, we are animals.
All right.
And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Monday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news.
Burger King is being sued for $15 million.
Go on.
So a resident in Manhattan is furious. He has filed a $15 million lawsuit against Burger King, alleging that their location in Manhattan on Fulton Street has become an open-air drug bazaar, is what he's calling it.
Yeah.
He claims the restaurant fails to prevent the illegal activities, leading to a crisis in the neighborhood where residents are afraid to leave their homes at night and property values are decreasing. Despite police awareness and meetings with the Burger King reps, the situation is ongoing, so he is seeking damages for emotional distress, wants a jury trial, along with a preliminary injunction. So, photographs show people engaging in drug-related activities inside of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Which, who's going inside of a Burger King? Like, that is already sus. Like, if you go into a Burger King, you should be arrested. I don't care if you got drugs on you or not. What are you doing?
You are profiled.
What are you doing? 100%.
You're inside of a Burger King, you are a criminal.
Right to jail. I guess this has been going on for a long time, and they're like, yeah, Burger King is not doing anything to stop it, and it's getting to the point where, like I said, it's like a crisis in the neighborhood.
Well, clearly there's some sort of standing if they're able to even, like, get a push to where you're, like, reporting about a $15 million lawsuit against them. So, we'll see.
Is it Burger King's fault, though? Like, if the cops are aware and they're not doing anything about it? Like, I don't know really what the solution is here.
I mean, but
other
from a corporate standpoint, it would be in your juncture to figure out who you're hiring to make it where you're having drug deals out of your establishment.
I have the solution. Close it. Close the Burger King. Do not allow people to go into a Burger King. This is a bad idea to begin with.
Or double down and make it a even bigger drug haven.
So,
stop selling Whoppers and start selling
Charbroil of fentanyl.
Flame broiled.
some good news today as well. Buying or selling a house just got cheaper. According to this story, the National Realtors Association has agreed to pay $418 million in a settlement to resolve a lawsuit that alleged inflation for agent commissions.
It's not cheaper. They just have to tell us now.
Well, I mean,
it's still going to be 3-3.
I mean, they're supposed to be like a negotiation.
It's not.
Now,
and you don't think so? It's still going to be 3-3.
I will say, like, I know that there's a lot of realtors that listen to this show, and this is probably not great news for a lot of realtors out there. But I mean, I've had agents in the past that are absolutely worth every single
penny. They're a good agent is 100% worth the money you pay, and a bad agent isn't worth a kick in the.
Excuse me.
That's right.
How much are you paying for a kick in the?
3%.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So, Audrey, you are a pet lover. How are the cats doing, by the way?
They're doing great, actually.
Are they?
I know. We're on the mend.
That is wonderful to hear. So there was a little countdown clock. And it looks like you're going to make it underneath the bar
time. I don't know, dude. I mean, like, the countdown is April 6th, and we still got a couple weeks left of that. Yeah. So I think we're in the home stretch.
But I mean, you could also, like, rent a hotel.
Dude, I've been thinking about all the ways that I could still make this work, even if they're still sick by our new move-in date, because that's the thing, is that if the cats still have the ringworm by the time we move into our new space, my husband does not want that to happen because he thinks that it's going to infect the whole new space. So, 2 more weeks.
Well, and I'm glad to hear that they're doing well, but between the cats and Elmo, you are a big pet lover. I can't imagine the feeling that it would be if somebody came along and they confiscated Elmo from you, right?
Are you kidding me?
I know.
That'd be the worst.
That would be the worst. And this guy who lives in New York is very upset. He is trying to regain the custody of his pet that he says law enforcement took away and they should not have. His pet Albert, was removed from his home by conservation officials. And you may be wondering, well, why would that happen? Why would somebody come and take his pet?
It's Albert the alligator, isn't it?
It's Albert the 11-foot, 750-pound alligator.
Oh, whoa. So that's not even like one of those little cute bathtub alligators. No, this is a big old boy.
An 11-foot alligator.
He's had that thing for his whole life.
Probably.
I mean, because you don't just catch a 6-foot alligator and bring that into your home.
So I guess he had a permit for Albert, but that permit expired back in 2021 and he failed to renew it, leading to this intervention. So he was transferred to a licensed caretaker pending further arrangements for his care. They said that evidence is being collected that may lead to potential charges against this guy, Tony, who says that they should not have taken away his pet alligator.
Okay, man. We need to do a mental health check on this gentleman.
Yeah, I mean, like, what
was it in an apartment?
It said at his house, so I mean, okay. I don't know if it was an apartment.
Because I'm like, I don't know how I would feel if I'm living in an apartment building and I know there's a 750-pound alligator next
11
door.
11-foot. Like, where do you even, how does he even walk through an apartment?
Look, I know that some people are lonely.
Alligators poop, right? That's got to be a big old.
That's got to be a big old turd.
750 pounds.
Also, like, how much
that's
are you
three
feeding?
Three of me.
How much are you feeding this thing? Like, how much does a 750-pound alligator have to eat every
All
single
your neighbors.
Day? One neighbor at a time.
Right.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
How do you really feel? Tell us. By calling the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail
at 833-YO-DUMMY.
YO-DUMMY. Please leave a message after the tone.
I know you guys are always betting stuff, but please, please, please do the rollerblade. I will pay to watch that. Do a stream, do whatever. Please, just do it. Come on.
Message deleted.
So, last week, Mahoney was professing his rollerblading skills, and he took it so far as to say that he believes that he could out-rollerblade me just pure speed going backwards as opposed to me going forwards. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair, I'm sure that you have rollerbladed far more in your life than I have because you are much, much bigger of a nerd. But
much bigger of an athlete, you
an
mean.
Athlete? Uh-huh. Are you?
Absolutely. Okay.
You're basing your athleticism on rollerblading?
Oh.
Got it.
I was an early adopter. I had the very first pair of rollerblades. You know why they're called rollerblades? There was a brand called rollerblades.
You didn't own the very first pair of rollerblades.
I certainly did.
In the world?
That, like, were commercially available? Certainly did.
Oh, you just bought the first pair of commercially available.
My grandma bought them for me for my, like, 9th birthday. My friend.
And she told you they were the first pair to ever be purchased?
It was the first model that ever came out.
Bro, you got lied to, man.
No, I didn't. You want me to pull up the Wikipedia, rollerblade Wikipedia?
First pair of rollerblades sold.
Commercially available.
Young boy in St. Louis buys first pair.
Young
boy's grandma hooks him up for his birthday.
Ninth birthday.
When I Googled.
The local news came out. Yeah, I'm just so happy with my new skating shoes.
When I Googled, because rollerblade is the is the Kleenex to a tissue. It's the
Band-Aid.
The Band-Aid.
Right.
Sharpie.
Inline skates. The company was started in 1960. The company was actually founded in 1982, which does not check out for your 9th birthday.
Certainly does.
It does not.
Doesn't say when
those skates
were
Well, they had some years
available.
Of, you know, of trial and error.
They still have 27 employees.
They still do?
They're worth $20 million.
They are?
Yeah,
what? They're worth $20 million chopping that up between 27 employees. Are you kidding me?
Cracking themselves out $800,000 a year.
They're located in West Lebanon, New Hampshire.
Wow.
Wow.
What in the Ponzi scheme is going on here, man? Like, what are you talking about? They're all getting that kind of money.
They probably still get like some patent money or something.
You think so?
Maybe. Anyway, okay. I've been rollerblading, Dave, for 30 years of my life. That's all I'm saying.
No way. Maybe in your dreams.
Not in my dreams.
I've known you for 20 years.
Okay.
You're 42 years old.
I am.
That gives you 22 years of life before BD, before Dave. Mm-hmm. And I have never seen you rollerblade a single time. And I believe in my heart of hearts that if you did rollerblade during our friendship, you would have told me.
You don't know what happens on the weekends.
I do.
You don't know what I do.
I do, man.
You know, I'm gliding through life, man.
Gliding. I feel like there's been a rock you've hit or two. A crack in the asphalt.
There's been a pothole or two in your story, man.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You guys think that sour cream ranch is culturally acceptable?
Message deleted.
Culturally acceptable?
Sour cream ranch.
I mean, I do feel like they've taken chip flavors a little too far.
Isn't that like the Doritos sour cream?
Sour cream and onion is very popular.
Oh, you're
obviously
talking about sour. Okay, so sour cream and ranch. Sure. They're similar. It's a cooling feel.
It's a cooling.
Well, because ranch
feeling.
Is just already made with like a milk byproduct. I mean, not byproduct, but a milk product. I think it's buttermilk.
Ranch
and mayonnaise.
Ranch and sour cream are kissing cousins.
Yeah.
They're very, you know, like you put them on the same things. There's very few things you can put ranch on that you can't put sour cream on and make it worse. I can't think of one. Because even like if you want to go salad, throw some sour cream on a salad. That'd be better.
Not to sidebar too much here, but you just said kissing cousins, and that kind of jogged something in my mind. You know, like when you go on like an adult website, it's all like stepbrother, stepsister, stepmom,
gross,
this.
So
I know, it's gross. Why? Why are we doing that? Why is there no like a hot cousin adult films? Like you never log on to a website. It's like first cousin.
They don't. You're
second
right.
Second cousin sexy. I don't know why that's not a genre.
It's not a category.
Because that would somehow.
I won't tell your uncle.
Call me uncle.
Oh, so cool.
Because that already exists in Alabama. So
Hey, you watch your mouth when you're talking about my state.
Did you say watch your mouth? Or are you my cousin?
I'm the one that called the offer to volunteer to puppy buttons. So what do you think? My python is getting hungry. Later.
Message deleted.
So I did spend the weekend with Button, my mother-in-law's dog. Button is currently at my house, and I know that because when I woke up at 4:15 this morning, I heard him barking.
Oh!
Yeah.
Barking at what?
You know, just the wind.
Aww.
It's whatever.
Keeping the house safe.
Yes, just so.
Good job, Button. 4:15, huh?
Every time I walk out of a room and walk back in, he lets me know. There he is barking, so... you know, last time that you called and offered to dog sit Button with your large python, I said no, but I would like to, you know, just slide me your number.
Revisit?
Because it's possible I'd like to revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
Is he annoying because he's not your dog?
Or
is he an annoying dog? You know what I mean by that.
Both, but yes.
It's the same kids and dogs. Other people's are the worst. Except for yours. I love your dog.
Thanks. I was thinking about bringing her in today to kind of like ease the blow for Dave. Like I was thinking maybe it's because like he hasn't been around a dog in a minute. So if I brought another dog around that like maybe his hardened heart for animals. Because I didn't know that Dave was such an anti-animal guy. You know, like he's been really put on this platform of like really not liking dogs recently. And I just thought maybe if I brought little Elmo in, you would become soft again.
Okay, I mean, I understand that your hatred for the troops is seething over into my life, but I actually am a dog lover.
Listen, my veteran husband loves our puppy.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's because he's American.
He's an
American.
We actually taught her how to potty train by holding her at gunpoint because we also love guns.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So I'm not a huge fan of Bruno Mars. I obviously have a lot of respect for his talent. Because he's a very gifted guy, but I've never been to like a Bruno Mars concert or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I can understand that there's obviously a market for it. Like Bruno Mars is very good at what he does, and he's had a residency in Las Vegas for quite some time now. And now we're starting to know more and more as to why he has a residency in Las Vegas.
Well, there were rumors for a really long time, and for them to actually get verified.
Well,
is pretty interesting.
Verified is, I would say, that's a little bit. Generous, they're being reported upon as he owes.
They tend to hold this stuff pretty close to the chest, if you will. But Bruno Mars has this residency in Las Vegas at Dolby Live, which is at Park MGM, the former Monte Carlo. And
it's like a 3,500, 4,000 cap room. It's not very big.
But it's a nice room. It's like where Lady Gaga plays.
Sure, it's a great room. There was an Aerosmith residency there.
Yeah, sure. So
intimate.
He has this residency there, and then he's also gotten more involved with MGM Resorts International by doing stuff like opening the new jazz club over at Bellagio.
The Pinky Ring?
Yeah, which has kind of like a cool vibe to it from the renderings that I've seen online.
It looks like a cool 70s vibe. I love it.
And that's right in line with like Bruno Mars and who he is as an individual. And you're like, boy, he really is seemingly very involved with MGM Resorts International. And you'd think, oh, this is just a business deal, right? But he's more involved than most other performers. Like, you don't see, like, an Aerosmith jazz bar opening at another MGM property, right? And then this report that you're talking about, Audrey, from News Nation, said that his gambling debts are so significant that he is basically... It's almost like the story of Elvis, if you remember
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's what I thought when I read this.
$50 million is reportedly the amount of money that Bruno Mars has gambled away in Las Vegas, and that's the amount of money that he is trying to recoup by doing these performances and other ventures.
I think he's making around a mil or a mil and a half per show that he does. So it's a significant amount of money. And, you know, anybody who's making that kind of money, you would think would be super, super, super well off.
He's just working off his debts.
But if you're 50 mil in the hole.
But I guess, I mean, so they're saying that he makes around $90 million annually from his deal with MGM.
Okay.
And so this actually, in my head, with my gambling math, works out just fine.
Well, but Dave, only, you got to think about
it. It's only half a year.
$90 million a year post-tax, you're talking, what, 60?
Yeah.
And then if you're in $50 million, I mean, granted, if you're still walking away, if you can gamble away $50 million and you're still walking away with $10 million a year, That's pretty good. That's a win.
That's a win. You're up.
That's a win you're to up. Me. So there's a guy who I follow. He's a like a TikTok guy, whatever, uh-huh. and reported that, like, you know, reports on high rollers in Las Vegas, and, you know, he'd never talked about this, but had a source that said that they were with Bruno Mars when he donked off $17 million in a single day.
Dude.
What was he playing, did they say? Because I'm so curious what he's playing.
Imagine. I think it was blackjack.
I want it so bad to be like war or like the big wheel.
I don't think you can lose that much at war because wars, as far as games go to play that are closer to in your favor, war works out. I mean, if you think about, you know, what is Bruno Mars, one of his most favorite or famous lyrics is like, I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he's shooting the shot. Maybe put like $17 million on a 12-team parlay.
I just want to see him playing that big, like, clown Wheel of Fortune, you know, the one that's just giant, oversized at $17,000 per spin.
So if you're, you know, thinking about like, oh, I got to get that to that residency before it ends.
He's going
to
be there forever, brother. Yeah.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show. Stories about people who read at a fourth grade level.
As you can see, this here is my trailer.
It's the Redneck Report on Dave and Mahoney.
You know, as somebody who has worked at a grocery store before, I can tell you without a doubt that it is a very unsexy place to work.
There's not like what you have in a restaurant or a bar.
Sexual tension with the other employees.
Or even like an office place.
Nah, no.
There's just too much work.
It's a lot of work.
It's
not fun work. You're going out there corralling shopping carts that people don't put back.
No, there's no job. And maybe the butcher. I don't know. But, like, I can't think of anybody who's having fun in a grocery store.
I bet the lady in the bakery.
Think so?
The lady who's in charge of the frosting in the bakery.
She's baked.
Yeah.
That's why they call it a bakery.
Yeah. So this guy who was working at a Safeway in Colorado, he got arrested because he was caught pleasuring himself.
I mean, you get bored. There's some downtime.
Yeah, but it was around the produce and other unsealed merchandise, which is a big problem. I guess he had been arrested last month for similar behavior outside of a coffee shop in Fort Collins.
And
so
somehow didn't lose his job?
Yeah, so this guy, he is a total creep. And I guess when they went to his house, they found some electronic devices where there was, like, videos of him doing this. And
so does he just set up his phone on a tripod and just, like...
Like
just
he's a gym influencer?
Like, I love... Watch me unpeel this banana live. Like and subscribe.
Here's the eggplant like section.
Oh, gross. A nightshade? Do you think that if you were to watch this man's footage, where do you think the first part of the produce section would be that he would be doing this in?
I mean, if I was going to make love to produce, it would probably be some leafy greens.
For me, it'd be the kumquats.
You don't even know what a kumquat is.
It's a tomato, isn't it?
It was just called a quat before. Okay.
Okay.
So a Florida woman found out the hard way that you can't just write checks to yourself. I mean, normally there's like a layer of a buffer, if you will. So if you get into trouble, that you can be, you know, some plausible deniability. This lady was just straight up writing checks to herself. It wasn't even like a shell company or anything like that. This 41-year-old lady from Clearwater, she wrote $710,000 worth of checks to herself.
Hell,
232 unauthorized checks in total. For 12 years, this was going on, supposedly.
12 years? Yeah. See, and they kept cashing them?
Yeah.
That's their fault. That's their fault for accepting checks. We need to get rid of checks. Checks should be
Oh, you're
no
just check
longer.
Shaming?
Well,
just
clearly,
in general?
Clearly there were no balances here.
No, exactly. That's what I mean, Mahoney. No checks and no balances, and we just need to get rid of them.
Side note. The reason I snorted right before you started reading that story, I Googled sexy kumquat, which I did not know kumquat was spelled with a K.
Oh, it is?
It is. Whoops. But the first picture that comes up is a bunch of kumquats, which look like little orange cuties in between somebody's toes. They've got five little kumquats in between
now
their toes.
Now I am turned on, yeah.
New King.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney. Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Audrey, do you enjoy going to the nail salon and getting your nails done?
I do. Yes.
Because my wife
There was some hesitation there because sometimes if I'm not in the mood, then it's the longest hour and a half of my life.
Yeah, my wife likes the end result. She likes having her nails done, but doesn't really enjoy the process of going to get them done.
It's uncomfortable. It's not relaxing. Like, a lot of people find getting a pedicure might be relaxing, but mm-hmm. getting your actual hands done, your fingernails done, is definitely stressful for an entire hour and a half.
So you guys tell me if you think that this is possible or if this lady is making this up. A 23-year-old woman is actually suing a Portland area nail salon called PDX Nails after claiming she got herpes.
Can you get herpes from,
she got an acrylic.
Blood?
She got an acrylic nail manicure on June 1st of last year, and the allegations include the nail tech's failure to use gloves and storing tools inside of their mint containers. So that's what she was saying, is that like the actual tools were stored in like an Altoids container, and so it was like super unsanitary.
I thought you had to like open up a new package or something every time.
So a lot of times, a lot of the tools they'll put like in they'll sterilize them and put them in whatever that cleaning thing is. I don't know the name of it off the top of my head, but it's like what you get in doctor's offices in order to clean your tools before you have surgery.
Right.
But I mean, I definitely have gone to an Altoid person. I have 100% seen that over the course of, I've been getting my nails since I was 10 and I'm 32. So, over the course of a very long time, I've 100% seen this. I don't know, though, the science behind the herpes.
Is this
that happens.
Is this the female version of I sat on a toilet seat?
Uh-huh. But if she's getting it on her hands.
So here's what happened. Following the manicure, the woman said she experienced an infection and inflammation on her right index finger, and it was red and sore, and she said she was feeling ill, and so she did like a telehealth appointment, and then they're like, no, you need to go to urgent care. And when she went to urgent care, they did a swab test, and it confirmed that it was genital herpes.
Oh, my God.
And she said she didn't have the virus before the nail appointment and has suffered painful outbreaks since. She's seeking $1.75 million for negligence and unlawful trade practices.
Oh, my. That is absolute nightmare fuel.
Dave,
this poor woman.
Dave, are you reading this story to save some money on paying for your wife's nails?
Baby, you can't be going out there and getting the herp from your nail appointment.
No. Oh, woman.
If this story is true, as she says it, that is mortifying.
Absolutely horrible.
Genital herpes, the gift that keeps on giving, never goes away. There
on
is
her
no
hands.
Cure. I know.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I got a message for you.
Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
Did you get that? Please leave a message after the tone.
Audrey, you were absolutely correct about the toilet seat needing to be down, especially while flushing the toilet, else all that water splashes out and gets all over the place. Same thing, Dave and Mahoney. If you don't sit down to pee, all that water splashes around and gets like on your toothbrushes and things like that. So guess what? You're brushing your teeth with germy toilet water. Have a nice day.
Message deleted.
That's how we build up an immune system, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, man. Like, I've told you guys that, you know, my life is very covered in fecal matter and urine. That's just kind of part of being a dad of four little kids. Doesn't really freak me out that much. Plus, we all see those studies all of the time that say that your phone is dirtier than the toilet seat in a public airport.
And on top of that, it's a misconception that even putting the lid down will keep poop particles or fecal matter particles. They still get out, even with it completely closed.
Right.
So there's nothing you can do about it other than keep your toothbrush. Like, I keep my toothbrush in the little cabinet.
Little cabinet thing?
Yeah, that's where
I
keep my
toothbrush. Is there a formal name for those little cabinets?
Like a medicine cabinet?
Medicine cabinet.
Which I don't really like because I feel like they're all the same and they all have like real sharp edges at like the bottom left corner.
Why have those not been updated? Everything else gets updated.
Yeah.
Everything else gets trendy over time, and there's, you know, the medicine cabinet still.
Garbage.
Yeah,
just straight garbage.
Cut you to pieces.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Thank you for being a friend. Welcome to roll back the Golden Girls song. Now, that should be your theme song. But which one of you would be Arthur, and which one of you would be Rose, and which one of you would be Ginger, and which one of you would be Marianne?
Message deleted.
I don't think all those were Golden Girls. I don't think.
I've never watched a single episode of the Golden Girls.
Why would you have? You're 32 years old.
Audrey would be Rue McClanahan. Dave would be
Betty White.
See, I think that this is the one thing everybody wants to be a Betty,
no,
and not everybody's a Betty.
I would be Arthur. I would be Dorothy.
It. Yeah,
100%.
Who's
Arthur is by far. Hilarious. Like, I didn't think, like, again, when I was watching that show when it was out in real time, I watched it with my mom every week. You know, I don't know why, like, a 5 or 6 year old would have anything in common with four, you know, women who are retired in Miami.
But because they're all also mothering you.
Well, there's that, but the thing that blew me away about the Golden Girls that I never knew is that Estelle Getty, who played Sophia, who was supposed to be, like, the oldest one, was really the youngest one out of the four.
Well, and it's what's wild is that, like, because they positioned that show like they were all very old, and then when you go back and see how old they actually were when they were doing that show, you're like, that just doesn't seem right.
Yeah. It just doesn't.
Weren't some of them in their 30s?
I think they were in their 40s.
Maybe in their 40s?
Yeah.
Still. Yeah, it's wild.
It's just, we're living in a different world now.
We are.
Audrey, are you trying to sell your ringworm couch? Because I think I'll take a hard pass on that.
Message deleted.
I mean, it's been cleaned.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Dave and Mahoney. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So, Mahoney, you have slowly been morphing into a suburban coke dealer. I mean, not actually dealing cocaine, because that would be a lot of work.
That's all
and
that.
A lot
I mean,
of
I don't
efforts.
Need to take a job.
Yeah, it's so much work to do that. But you got the look pretty dialed
Thank
in.
Thank you.
But there is one missing thing, and you've been talking about even kind of sniffing around. You've talked about getting yourself a fancy watch, a Rolex, perhaps.
I mean, I do really want a Rolex, but unfortunately for me, there's two things that are working against me. I want a gold one.
Uh-huh.
And they don't make gold ones unless they're the high-end ones. You can't get, like, the entry-range Rolex.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, no. Not even, like, a gold-plated one. No, you got... It's like... And then the other thing is, I'm so paranoid about spending that kind of money that I have to buy a new one. Like, I won't buy a used one because I'm thinking it's going to be fake. I will, on the other hand, buy a knowingly fake one for a very, very, very reduced price.
Well, and that's why I bring this story up, because this is not great news for those of us that are in the market.
For a Folex.
I guess the U.S. Customs and Border Protection seized counterfeit designer watches at the Port of Louisville for retail value of $11.7 million.
There's a port in
Louisville? Yeah.
Was it like the river?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I'm thinking like an ocean port. I'm like, no. I'm pretty sure they're landlocked.
Like, hang on a second. I know my geography well enough.
No.
Yeah. Was it coming down from Indy?
I guess. If you got fake watches rolling in from Indianapolis to Louisville, of course they're fake. Of course they are. You didn't even have to look on the back to check the serial numbers. Yeah, those are fake.
Like the triangle has to be from Indianapolis, Ohio to Louisville. Yeah. What in the world is happening?
If you are getting a fake Rolex from Indianapolis, the
Cincinnati,
the serial code is fake LOL69.
Gotcha.
The shipment contained a number of fake designer watches, and the watches arrived from Hong Kong. They were destined for Puerto Rico. They ended up getting busted in Louisville, and they were initially stopped by customs officers on March 6th. So, typically it's hard to track down and stop the fake designer goods because there's just so many of them out there.
In the grand scheme of what's going on in the world right now, the fact that we're worried about fake Rolexes is so annoying.
Well, you know
to
why
me.
Why this is a thing? It's because these companies who sell them, like Rolex or Louis Vuitton or Prada or whoever it may be, is because they have the money, and then they put the pressure on the politicians, who then turn around and put the pressure on these customs officers.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
The people with the money are always going to find a way to keep making that money.
Every time.
And you know what? And this.
Meanwhile, we're getting iced out of having a fake Rolex.
That's right.
I want a fake Rolex.
What?
I would wear a fake Rolex like today.
See, you're in the market too.
Dude, duh. Like, that's what I'm saying. This is silly. Just let everybody have their fake stuff.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Dave and Mahoney present, Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout?
Probably not.
Jeff is joining us today for a round of Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout? And Jeff, if you just ask Mahoney, he will tell you that he is the smartest man alive. I don't know if that's true or not, but he did go to 3 different community colleges, so there's that. Are you ready to challenge Mahoney today?
Oh, I'm definitely ready.
All right, so tell us about your level of education.
I got a dual major in engineering and business.
Oh, did you get a degree, though?
Two bachelors.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Yep.
Mahoney suddenly has nothing to say to that. Except for well, and then stomping out of the room. So Mahoney's going to go to a soundproof space where he's not able to hear. Jeff, one thing to note for you is that you do have a pass, and I would just encourage you to use it sooner rather than later if you feel like you need it, okay?
All right.
Not going to give you the correct answers until Mahoney has come in and given his guess. So here we go with question number 1. What is the currency of Japan?
Yen.
Question number 2. Which country drinks the most coffee in pounds per year? Is that A, Finland, B, the United States, or C, Brazil?
Brazil.
Okay, question number 3. Who was the first woman to win the Nobel Prize in 1903? This can't.
Pass.
This can't be right. Woman winning a prize.
I love how he goes, why would I know that?
Pass.
He said,
I just don't want to get that one wrong.
Yeah, I feel that. Don't want to get that wrong.
Name any woman.
Name teasing. Any woman who's ever won a prize.
Just teasing.
Okay, question number 4. Which city in India would you find the Taj Mahal in? I'll give you multiple choice. Is it A, Mumbai, B, Delhi, or C, Agra?
Delhi.
All right. Question number 5. The famous movie line, here's looking at you, kid, is from what 1942 film?
Oh, my gosh. That one's about 50 years before my time. I have no clue.
Okay. Do you want to take a guess? Any movie from 1942 or... any movie that's ever starred a woman?
Casablanca.
All right. And final question, how many chambers does the human heart have?
4.
All right. Mahoney is going to re-enter the room, and we'll see how he does compared to Double Degree Jeff.
I'm just going to do the Mahoney thing and say these questions are stupid.
He already knows. That's hilarious.
All right, Mahoney, are you ready?
Okay.
Question number 1. What is the currency of Japan?
That would be the yen.
The yen is correct. You got that right. Jeff also got that right. Question number 2. Which country drinks the most pounds of coffee per year? Is it A, Finland, B, the United States, or C, Brazil.
Per capita? Is this per capita?
Which country drinks the most coffee in pounds per year?
So total.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Brazil.
Jeff also guessed Brazil, and both of you are incorrect.
Is it? Yes.
It's Finland.
There's no way. There's like 5 million people who live in Finland.
But they just... That's all they drink.
Are we talking per capita? Because that's a different story.
Finland consumes a whopping 12 kilograms, about 26 pounds of coffee per capita annually.
But you said
you're making Finland the biggest consumer of coffee on Earth.
You didn't say the population. There's 5 million people. I promise you the U.S. and Brazil, which there's, 250 million people in Brazil.
You didn't hear me when I said yes to the per capita question.
You did not say that.
So, but either way,
I mean, Jeff and I feel like Jeff and I should both get a redo.
Okay. Or just a wash.
It's already a wash. You guys got asked the same question. Okay, you guys both got that right. Do you feel better? Okay, yeah.
Good. Better, Jeff, too? Because I do.
You don't have to litigate everything.
Yes. Thank completely, you. Completely.
All right. Question number three. Who was the first... Who was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize in 1903?
I think it's Marie Curie.
Wow, that is correct. Wow. Okay, so Jeff
my
passed
feminist
on that one.
King.
Wow. Jeff, you got something to say?
My feminist king.
I don't know nothing about women, women.
Let's just say I'm pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
There he is, Mahoney. Okay. Who knew you were a girl?
Love me some women.
Okay. Question number four. Which city in India would you find the Taj Mahal in? Is it A, Mumbai, B, Delhi, or C, Agra?
I'm going to pass, but I think it might be Delhi.
Yeah, both of you got that incorrect. Both of you said Delhi. It is actually Agra.
Agrabah? Isn't that where Aladdin's from?
Whoop.
Maybe.
What is that?
What's a woman or some other country?
I don't know anything about India or women.
Okay, question number five. The famous movie line, "Here's looking at you, kid," is from what 1942 film?
That is from Casablanca.
You said Casablanca, and shockingly, so did Jeff.
Jeff from the paint.
In the dark, and that is correct.
Never once seen it. Just trying to think of an old movie. That was so...
It works out.
Good guess.
Okay,
great
so
guess.
Mahoney, it all comes down to this. You get this correct, and you are going to win on Double Degree Jeff today. If not, it is going to be a tie, which means Jeff will win. How many chambers does the human heart have?
I know the Wu-Tang Clan has 36.
We'll accept that, yes.
The heart? Yeah. Oh, man, I should know this. Three?
No.
Eight?
No.
Four?
Yes.
Eight. Jeff wins.
I don't know, man. I was thinking of like a cow or something.
Cow?
I don't think that's
they have like 16 stomachs.
Cows don't have eight chambers in their hearts either.
Whatever.
This is the Dave and Mahoney
this
Show.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Mahoney, you know that I love you, right, buddy?
I suppose so, Dave. Why?
Well, I just
do you have something to tell me?
I just think that you're a liar.
What do you mean? Why do you think I'm a liar?
I spit out my drink. What?
I am like George Washington. I cannot tell a lie.
Really? Oh. Okay, so let me read the thing that you sent over for prep today.
Okay, please do.
It's just one line.
Yep.
And Audrey and Chris, I'm really curious your take on this as well. We'll see if you guys think that Mahoney is lying too.
Okay.
Here's the line. I have given up DoorDash for good.
Oh, absolutely not.
Audrey, look through my phone.
Oh, did you?
Just because you deleted it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
No, but I mean, that's a big first step. If it really is gone off of your phone, that's a huge first step.
Also, he just closed like seven tabs before
he just deleted
his phone
it right now. He cleaned it. He cleaned his phone. Yeah, no, I don't see DoorDash anywhere.
No.
Wow, man. Good for you.
So over the weekend, I sent a text to the show, everybody on the show, asking whether or not I am a moron or not, because my wife, didn't call me a moron, but she said, what are you doing? This is really, 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 really stupid. And I ordered DoorDash, and my wife was just feeling ramen. And I'm like, okay, ramen's not too bad. It's kind of...
Travels pretty well because it's in little containers.
I've been eating healthy. I'm like, I'm on a diet.
Does that fit into your diet?
I kind of. I mean, sure. I'm like, it doesn't
it's
like
broth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like the broth is fine. I just wanted something spicy. And so we get this DoorDash delivered to my house, and it's like 80 some odd dollars.
For get, ramen?
For it was like two things of ramen, and I got her a bunch of eggs. And
$80 worth of eggs.
She's on the phone with her dad while I'm getting everything ready. I bring the bag in, get the kitchen. I was going to, you know, like put it in the bowls and get everything ready for her. So when she was off the phone, the food would be ready. Yeah. So I open the bag, and to my surprise, there is a lake of ramen broth. I mean,
oh, the container spilled.
They like this driver must have just like punted this back.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot about that picture.
You guys were drinking over the weekend.
Hey, don't you bring my alcohol into this?
So I get this. So I open up this bag, and there is a lake of ramen broth.
Sure.
I mean, and it's just it's over all the packages. Everything's ruined. Thankfully, it didn't like leak on my floor.
But didn't you say that you reached out to DoorDash and they gave you a full refund?
Well, so Dave, here's what happened. So I'm like, this is ruined, and I'm like kind of pissed because it's been an hour. I'm hungry. My wife's hungry, and clearly the driver was at fault here for mishandling this package.
I thought, per the picture, like I literally thought that there were no Tupperware involved. I thought that they just gave you a bag of ramen.
So just for the visual here, for those that haven't seen
that's
the picture.
It's like a fish bag. If you had a whole fish.
That's
a good way to
put that's it. That's how I thought that they were just like out of styrofoam cups or something. And I thought that they just like gave you like what comes in wings, you know, like the Tupperware. And then they just bagged it. And then they dumped the ramen inside of that and then just delivered it that way.
So it's a plastic bag like you'd get food delivered in normally, but it was just full of broth.
Right.
And as opposed to doing the wise thing and just emptying it into the bowl out of the bag and not telling your wife about
it. Oh, no. You can't. No, because it mixed the two, man.
I see.
There was a pork broth and a vegetarian broth. You can't. And they had co-mingled. So I get on the horn with DoorDash, and I'm like, hey, man, this thing's completely ruined. I don't complain ever on the app, you know, but I'm like, this is, you know, something went really, really, really wrong here.
Inedible.
Everything is
inedible.
This is inedible. Yeah. Like, I just want a refund. They're like, we can refund half.
Oh, really?
And this is where I got like,
after they sent, you saw the pictures?
I sent the pictures, the same pictures I sent to you. And I'm like, hey, I don't complain. Look at my account. I spent $15,000 last year. I mean, spent $20,000. I spent tens of thousands of dollars on this app over the years. I'm going full Karen on this one because I'm like, I've spent.
It's bags of ramen, of course.
Outside of my rent, this is my biggest expenditure in life.
And here's the thing. Literally, it's true. You should be a VIP customer.
And I pay for the subscription, the monthly thing.
Yeah, okay.
All of this. And then I'm like, really? You can do half? The whole thing's ruined. Oh, well, maybe we can give you like, we'll give you $10 more. And I'm like,
you're DoorDash. You have a big company, man.
And so it goes back. I'm like, I'm not like going to accept this. I'm like, I want a full refund, no credits. It takes me 2 hours. Like going back and forth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, cancel my subscription, all of this stuff. And I'm like, I don't want your credits because I'm done with the app. Because, like, why are you trying to lowball me on this particular instance?
No.
Because they want to take the money from the restaurant, not their actual money that they get from delivering from that restaurant.
After these 2 hours, I get the money refunded, the $80. But when they do that, they take the money away from the Dashers, from what I understand. So the person who did, even though they did the worst possible job ever with this delivery, they knocked over the ramen, it spilt everywhere, there's a lake of ramen in this bag, they take that money away. But that person still spent an hour of their time like driving from the restaurant to my house and waiting and all that sort of stuff. So even after it got refunded, I tipped again the 20% that was originally there, because I don't know. I have this
because
guilt.
We worked in the service industry.
I worked in the service industry too.
I know, man. But I think we've just been groomed.
Chucked a blooming onion at someone's face. I would expect.
And I don't know. Maybe that person's having like a horrible, horrible, horrible day, and then you've wasted an hour on a Friday or a Saturday night delivering this, and then you're going to get dinged because you got rated poorly, and then you get the money taken away. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm saying in my head. Like,
you're
I don't know, creating a scenario that doesn't exist. I'm not bitching to bitch. Like, this makes shows that I am the bigger, better person. So I still tip 20%. But my wife, when I told her that, she's like, you are an absolute idiot to do that. It was the driver's fault.
Yes.
Clearly, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, what you should do is apologize to the restaurant because they did everything right. The driver ruined it. Now you just took money away from them. What about that small business owner?
That's right. Mm.
What do you mean that's right?
Like, no, I mean, I'm not going to stop shopping there. I'm just going to go pick it up from here on out.
I had a DoorDash incident Saturday night too, ironically, but it was the other way around. So we had went out and had some drinks, and I got home and ordered DoorDash and passed out.
You're that guy.
And I woke up like at cold 2 Taco in the
Bell.
Morning.
Cold Taco Bell outside
like
your door.
3 missed calls because I live in an apartment. He had to hand it to me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the guy was trying to get in touch with me, and I walk out and it's sitting on the sidewalk like the food was still there 3 hours after the fact. But like I felt bad for doing it to that guy, so I sent him an extra tip.
Did you still eat the food?
I definitely did.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to The Dave and Mahoney Show.
New message.
Call The Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY.
That's 833-963-8669. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, my name's John. I was just thinking, I really enjoyed beer on Friday there. But, 420, Tasty Tuesday wouldn't be bad either. Enjoy.
Message deleted.
We learned our lesson on that. I mean, because, we've had a number of people over the years, suggest doing like the Weed Wednesday or something like that. We can handle beer and that's about it. So we had a Whiskey Wednesday that we were doing for a minute there because we had this big whiskey event that we were doing and we were promoting it. And they were like, hey, they suggested it to us. Our bosses did.
And we're like, sure.
Great idea. And boy, that was a big mistake.
That lasted 4 weeks.
We called it irresponsible.
Do you also remember when we did a whiskey festival?
Wasn't that to promote the whiskey festival?
Yeah.
That was the lead up to the whiskey festival.
And they weren't doing they were doing full pours for people not realizing that you can go to a wine tasting and try multiple wines and be fine. But after about your third bourbon, you're done for the
night.
You're
just hammered, yeah. I mean, it was a great whiskey festival and the fact that you got full-ass pours.
You got a lot,
but they put it in a super nice
setting. It was
setting.
A classy, where you'd go see a Broadway-style play. It was this beautiful center, and everyone was just torched.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
So drunk.
Somebody threw up in the plants. That somebody was me.
I look at actors as condom people. They'll contour to any form deemed necessary. And when they become politicians, you don't know if they're acting or if they're real. And so I figure they're condoms.
Message deleted.
There is a very fine line between politicians and actors. I mean, they're all just professional liars.
Politics is just acting for ugly people. Somebody told me that 15, 20 years ago, and that's all I can ever imagine. It's just acting. It's Hollywood for uglies.
Wow.
Except they're actually making, decisions in our lives.
Affect our lives.
Yeah,
how cool.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Okay, here's a little advice. You should never fart in the Apple store. They don't have any windows.
Message deleted.
Dude, as somebody who worked in retail for forever, there was so many people who would just try and get away with a fart, and you would walk right into it.
Oh, God. Yeah. There's, as somebody that does not, like to fart in public or is very closeted in that way, just in general, there is no worse feeling than if you've snuck one out and then somebody is walking towards it, and you're like, no.
Especially in our line of work, because we are in these studios that are airtight. And I swear, every time I let one loose, someone comes in a minute
later.
Why
would you ever do that?
You should never do that.
You don't fart in the studio.
Well, usually, I'm the only one over here in my studio.
That's a shared studio.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So I was getting roasted a little bit online because Audrey inspired me how to properly do reels on Instagram. I haven't been big into reels ever. But she was showing me some little tricks of how to do it. And so this weekend we were, in San Diego for spring break. And I had some little videos that I shot of the kids just having fun. I'm like, I'm gonna put a little reel up of our fun little adventures. And it was a wonderful time with the kids. They had a blast. But somebody quickly pointed out, ha ha ha, you had to bring your mother-in-law and her dog along with you on this trip, I see. To which I said, we didn't have to. We chose to.
Also, what we say on air, this is our diary. You don't bring that to social media.
Blow my cover.
That's blowing the cover. Like, that's how you'll quickly get blocked. Like, you don't do that. This is a safe space.
But
what we say goes out into the ether, and it's never to come back.
There. Yes. It's left.
Never to come back.
So Button, the dog, and my mother-in-law, Shelley, were on the trip, and everyone had a great time. But I found it really interesting that Button unlocked a new way to annoy me.
I mean, you already had to pay, what was it, $500 more to have a animal-friendly Airbnb?
That's correct.
Okay, so that's...
But my mother-in-law did say that she was going to Zelle me the difference.
Really?
Hasn't happened yet, but she did say that she was going to do that.
The Zells obviously
take a long time.
You know, most
Zells arrive via pigeon carrier.
Yeah, Pony Express.
Pony Express. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The latest thing that Button did outside of waking up the kids both days by barking at nothing is we were eating breakfast on our final day there, and simultaneously, you know, getting packed up, just kind of doing the mental catalog of all the crap that needs to be done before he can leave. And we're sitting there eating breakfast, and it's kind of like the one quiet part of the morning, you know? And I'm really kind of enjoying just eating a sort of a quieter breakfast. No one's fighting. Everyone's getting along. And all of a sudden, I hear, like, what the hell was that? What is that? And I look over, and Button just goes, and just vomits all over the carpet of this Airbnb.
Oh, no.
It's foamy and chunky. Button ate too fast.
You know, get him a slow feeder.
He's a moron.
Like, how have you not figured out the speed that you should eat at?
He's not a puppy. He's a year old.
I know. He just celebrated his birthday.
We've got one of those. Marshmallow. We have two dogs. One that's ours, but the long story short, whatever. And he eats so fast that he projectile vomits often, and he's 7. So that's a thing. That'll just add to your poop woes, you will also have a vomiting dog.
So this dog will crap in my house while making eye contact with me, barks at me every time that I walk into a room, and now vomits right before we have to leave. Now, to her credit, like, my mother-in-law did quickly get up and say, oh, no, I'll take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was that it was such a violent vomit that she's over there trying to clean it up, and she's like, bleh, bleh. She's
did
like
she
dry
puke too?
No, she didn't puke, but she's like dry heaving. And I'm like, just drop my fork. I'm just like, ugh. So much for this breakfast, man. Like, this one quiet part of the...
Oh, man, so you don't have a strong stomach for that? That gives you the ache?
No, it didn't bother my stomach. I was just like, everyone's dry heaving or actually vomiting right now. It kind of takes the pizzazz out of these scrambled eggs.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Oh, my God, would you people shut up?
Dave and Mahoney. Blitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
Once again, winning at the box office this past weekend, Mahoney, was Kung Fu Panda 4, another $30 million for the film. Dune Part 2 was very close behind at 29.1. I didn't expect Dune to already have fallen in consecutive weeks to any movie, let alone the fourth installment of Kung Fu Panda.
It's a sequel. I mean, it is a sequel to a movie that wasn't released originally during the theaters, and it came out on Max during that weird period when all the theaters were shut down. So I'm not surprised that, like, everybody who wanted to see Dune, like, went in, saw it the first week, whereas, like, Kung Fu Panda kind of has, like, I could see you taking your kids next week
Kids have been harassing me I made the mistake of telling them that Kung Fu Panda 4 came out.
Oh, that's on you, Brian.
Know,
like, why
fault.
Would you, like, you can hide this information.
I know, but I just, you know, I was excited because I was like, oh, you guys are going to like this, and now for the last two weeks, it's been nonstop berating to take them to see Kung Fu Panda. But yeah, $30 million at the box office, getting pretty good reviews. And so is Dune. So, I mean, there's a couple of good options for you at the theaters if you want to go check those out. The other ones that are in the top 10, I mean, are not exactly
I've never even
huge.
Heard of these. Arthur the King, Imaginary.
I mean, the Bob Marley one I've heard of.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of other ones. Ordinary Angels. Is that the one with what's his muscles? You know what I'm talking about? Alan Rickman or whatever.
And Migration, which...
that's still in there, too.
Migration was number 11.
Wow. Speaking of things and sequels coming along, The Bear has been greenlit for season number 4. So the drama comedy, which is on FX on Hulu, had its third season renewed, and they're saying that they're also renewing a fourth season, and they're basically going to shoot them consecutively back to back. So I like that, with the idea that hopefully there's not going to be like this massive gap in between seasons.
I think we need to get back to a world where we have a regular release schedule, that it's not these 2 years, 3 years between seasons, because I forget what the hell is going on in these shows when we take that long.
Yeah, it takes way too long for first season to season pop up.
What do you mean that there's no recap? Like, what do you mean you're going to start a new season and not have a detail? Like, we need to have a recap episode.
See, but didn't you hate it, though, whenever there was, like, the weekly episodic shows, and then, like, you know, you had to wait the year, like... In the olden days, and then the one episode that they would come out with before the new season was just an hour-long recap. I hated that. Lost used to do that all the time, where it was an episode before the entire new season. And I'd be like, wait, hold on.
I feel like I need that, man. Like, there's so much content Grey's that we're consuming nowadays. Too. Yeah, I need you to rebrief me, because mostly I was on my phone for half of the episodes anyhow. So, like, just, yeah, give me the recap.
Yeah, how did we watch TV before phones?
Right? Like, it's...
We just sat there and stared at the screen?
That's ridiculous.
Was Friends really that captivating? We were like, wow.
Well, those were 30 minutes.
Every line of dialogue is just magical.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Let's go around the room here, Mahoney. How many close friends do you have in your life?
I mean, like, close friends? Like, define close.
I mean, the sort of people that you are almost constantly in communication with.
Well, I'm not in constant communication with anybody, but if somebody who I needed, like, to borrow money from or, like, bury a body, about four or five.
Okay. Audrey, how many close friends would you say that you have in your life?
Oh, I mean, somebody who I could call and they would have no judgment. Like Mahoney said, I could say maybe, like, three or four.
Okay, so that's, you guys are both like right in the wheelhouse. This survey that was done by the Pew Research Center said that 53% of adults have between one and four close friends.
Yeah, and four is kind of pushing it. Four was like, I mean, I could call them and they might probably would judge me.
While you're burying the body.
But I guess don't call them, you know what I mean?
38% have five or more, but 8% report having no close friends. What's interesting about this study, though, is that 61% of adults prioritize close friends for a fulfilling life over marriage, children, or wealth.
Well, why don't you marry a close friend, then?
It's a good question.
Like, I don't understand.
I value friendships.
Yeah.
I think friendships, you know, it's close friendships or not, just having friends in general absolutely makes me feel nourished.
Have you ever had a friend in your life, because I have, that gets upset when you start getting serious with a significant other because they know it's going to detract from the friendship?
I mean, I feel like...
That's not a real friend.
No.
No, no. I mean, it's very selfish of them, but they want you all to themselves, you know?
See, but I don't really have a whole lot of divorced friends right now, you know? So, like, I feel like if you were, like, both divorced at the same time... And then you're like kind of like doing the, you know, the divorced dad thing, you know, and you got that thing going on. And then one of you gets
divorced dad, bro.
Then one of them gets back into a relationship again. I could see you being, I don't know about upset, but at least a little sad.
Do women do the same thing? Like, because, I mean, when I think about like the divorced dad thing that you just said, Mahoney, like that strikes me as like a very real thing. Like, you know, I've had a couple of friends that have gotten divorced over the years that have instantly buddied up with the other divorced dad.
Well, I mean,
in the
group. If you're thinking about getting divorced and one of your good friends is also getting divorced, that's a good time to pull the trigger.
Is it though?
Because then you got a buddy.
Yeah,
at least you got to get to make some bad life choices with.
Yeah, but
at the same time,
that's kind of like short lived because like you need somebody to like rein you back in. You know, if you guys are both going ham.
Well, yeah, but you've got, that's why you've got your other friends. But at least in the meantime, when you're looking to go out, you know, you got that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know anybody else who's been divorced other than me. So. Oh, right.
So you didn't have like a little divorce buddy?
I mean, I had my girlfriends, but they were also like in their 20s and single. Yeah. So, I mean, it's totally different. But no, I don't know. I don't know to answer your original question, Dave, I have never known anybody who has been jealous that someone's getting in a relationship. I do think it's weird, though, whenever female friends become too buddy-buddy with the new partner.
Yeah.
I think that that's slimier. I would rather you get angry at somebody for having like a significant other than becoming too close to that partner.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Yay!
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for Dave and Mahoney? Call 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please record your message.
This is the voicemail.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, we unfortunately had to learn how you wash your tushy. Do you have an intensive routine when it comes to washing your feet? Or are you one of them weirdos who just lets soap drip down their leg?
Message deleted.
Oh, he's a soap drip down the leg
that
guy.
That is not a question that you should be asking. Do you think there's any chance in high hell that Mahoney would bend over to wash his feet?
I've got a no bending policy 99.9% of the time, unless it's absolutely.
And that 0.1% of the time is a whole lot of fun.
Yeah. necessary. I mean, I'll say this. There is nothing better in a shower than the one that you can take off the handle and just use everywhere rather than the fixed place shower head, because like you put that thing on pulsate and then just get all the places you need to go.
What places do you need to go?
The backside.
Okay, got it.
Like, because you can just get in there.
Yeah, sure.
And just
make
sure it's clean.
Yeah,
which
power
with
washing.
With a normal
shower head
you gotta use your head.
Yeah, lean and it's
awkward. Just, and then your wife walks into the bathroom and she's like, "What are you doing? And why you've got two handfuls of your own ass?" It's just not a good look. If you're trying to have, you know, to still be a sexual person to your partner.
So do you, to answer his question, though, do you use that wand to get the feet separately?
Yeah. Because I spray down the feet. I mean, I don't bend down and soak there.
There's plenty of water and soap that are going to the feet.
No, it rinses down, but then I rinse off with it with the pulsate because I feel like the pulsate does a better job of, like, getting things off.
One of the things that I'm not liking about shower culture at the moment is they're trying to do, like, anti-loofah because it's apparently, like, super gross for you. And I can't let go of my loofah.
I don't care what you say about bacteria. I put 3 gallons of soap on that thing every single time I'm in the shower. It'll work itself out. It's fine. Although, I will say, I have overused a loofah before.
No.
Where it kind of like looks like just like a mop. Like it's all like dangling.
It starts
like
to untwine.
It's just a sad state of affairs.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If a woman had to propose to men, how would you want to be proposed to?
Message deleted.
Not at all.
You son of a bitch. What do you mean, not at all?
Marriage is a...
You are such a liar.
A car... Because, I mean, that's the price of a wedding ring is like a car. So get me a cool-ass car.
Take me somewhere exotic and treat me.
I was going to say, is anybody... So Dave's saying, don't even do it. And then Mahoney's like, you know what? Actually, I'll just take a car.
You got a Volvo or something?
Hey, they're very reliable.
I'll say yes right now.
And also, were you shocked? Because I didn't know this. I always thought Volvos were German for many, many years. They're Swedish.
The Swedes make cars?
Very good cars they make. They've been making Volvos forever.
But now they're done, right?
No, Volvo's very successful, man. They've got a great line of hybrids. The XC90 is a great car.
Wait, how the hell do you know so much about Volvos?
Before I bought my car, I was saying
Volvo.
You're saying the lady part.
I'm more interested in that, frankly.
That's why he was so confused. How do you know so much about that thing?
What is an EX90 Volvo?
XC90.
Whatever.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Jose here. This one's for Jason. I never had a problem with using the restrooms in a public place until I heard you talk about it, and I made eye contact with someone on the toilet while the guy was sitting in the mirror washing his hands, and I did what you did. I waited until everybody got out before I finished my business.
Message deleted.
Don't use my Christian name.
What are you doing calling him Jason?
Nobody calls me Jason. Although my mom doesn't call me Jason.
What, she call you Mahoney?
No, she calls. We got nicknames and stuff.
My sweetie firstborn baby.
Yeah, my mom calls me Stubby.
Stubby?
She calls you Stubby?
Yeah. She does?
Yeah. Because I used to be short.
Now we know more about your anatomy than I wanted to.
Dave and Mahoney.
So, Mahoney, you and I have been fans of the fine work that Elizabeth Hurley has done over the years.
I mean, Dave, they did a study in the late 90s that I recall, you know, almost photographically, that Elizabeth Hurley has the most symmetrical face of any actress ever, thus making her probably the most attractive person ever to be on film.
Yeah, I mean, we see those studies a lot, you know, where it's like how symmetrical your face is matters, especially if you're a model or a supermodel in the case of Elizabeth Hurley.
Hurley is one of the best looking people in history, in my opinion.
And, I mean, her work in Austin Powers, that series, I mean, there was just nobody that could have fit that role better. And Elizabeth Hurley is still at it. So she's in a new film, and it's called Strictly Confidential. And the reason why this has come up as a thing is because there is an intimate scene with her and another woman in the film. And, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but I did my due diligence, of course.
You pulled the clip?
I pulled the clip. And it is, you know, fairly romantic, if you will.
Okay.
And very handsy, and they're, you know, getting down. And she said that she was very comfortable with filming a scene like that. And this is the part that gets me. And tell me, Audrey, your take on it. She said that she was so comfortable filming that scene because of the director of the film. And you're like, well, that makes sense. Like, if you got somebody directing the film that, you know, really knows how to tell you how to, you know, pose your body and how
you trust,
you know, get the most out of that sex scene, it can be a more easy experience than if it's somebody that you don't have any sort of relationship with. Are you curious what the relationship is?
Yeah. Is it her husband?
It's her son.
Oh,
your mouth is hanging open right now.
Oh, my God. That is so gross.
Isn't that weird?
Ew, man.
Hear me out. I don't love this.
I don't like it from the director's standpoint either. Like, hey, mom, can I watch you just get hot and heavy with another woman real quick? Yuck.
No, I mean, but here's the thing. As an actress, I mean, it has to be, or an actor, it has to be tough to be directed in a sex scene. Because if you're with somebody like Quentin Tarantino, we all have heard the story about how Selma Hayek, you know, he wrote Dusk Till Dawn so he could specifically suck on her toes.
Yeah.
And you know that they're perving out. You know your son's not perving out on this.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. But I mean, like, you could try and flip it into whatever it makes us all feel more uncomfortable, because this is a very uncomfy thing. I don't know. Actors and actresses can justify and validate a lot. I mean, if I were doing a sex scene and I had a whole husband at home, I morally would have a tough time with that. So I don't know what mental gymnastics Elizabeth Hurley had to do in order to make her feel like this is okay. But whatever, girl, you do you.
So he also wrote the film. And the idea that you wrote this film and had this very graphic sex scene that you wrote, and then you're like, hey, I want to cast Mommy Dearest in it.
Ugh.
It's just...
telling you, dude, it's weird.
It's strange, but he said that he felt no awkwardness directing his mom.
He's a pro.
Stating they are both professionals in show business.
And you know what? Thank you for doing that, because you know what? I love me some naked Elizabeth Hurley. Thank you,
Damien, you weirdo.
That's a wrap. Well, it's about time. Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
And Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.